Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Voices That Cook. And I am your host, William Dunn, who is a voice actor who also likes to cook. And I bring people on this show who are also voice actors who also like to cook. And today I have a very special guest who I am so excited to have on. And that is Melissa White. Melissa, how are you today, my friend?
I am doing pretty swell. How are you?
I am swell also, and I'm also really glad I'm not the only one who says swell besides Clark Kent, so I'm very thrilled. So, on this day that we are recording, today is President's Day, and I just wanted to mention that if you are listening at a, well, obviously you're going to be listening to this at a later time since this is not live, but if you're listening to this episode on a day where maybe work's a bit slower than usual, maybe you're having a lot of busy stuff going on, whatever time that you are listening to this episode, feel free to have yourself a snack while listening, because we're probably going to be talking about some stuff that's going to make you very hungry. So do feel free to have a snack while listening, because I usually feel like I should put a disclaimer at the very beginning of each episode. Don't listen to the show while you're hungry, because I remember posting an episode. I don't remember the exact one, but someone was telling me that their stomach was growling throughout the whole time. So just a safety warning for everyone that's going to be hearing us talk about stuff, because I do want to mention about something I made yesterday during this episode. I don't know if you saw my pictures of the enchiladas that I made.
No, but I love enchiladas.
I made 20 chicken enchiladas yesterday.
Did you eat them all at once?
No. My mom was hosting a supper club, and I was helping her out with it, and she wanted me to essentially make these chicken and baked beans enchiladas that she really, really loved. But we wanted to use smaller enchiladas. We at first used like really huge flour tortillas, but I think using the smaller ones is more fun. It's a little bit easier to manage, and it looks nicer, and it's enough to feed a lot more people. It was about 12 guests, but my dad wasn't going to touch them because he doesn't like cheese or anything really Mexican food-ish, because he's weird. So we had like 11 people, including myself, that wanted to eat the enchiladas, and I think everyone had maybe one. I don't know if anyone went back for seconds. I think there were only 10 that were grabbed, but I had four. I had four enchiladas because I was making these all freaking day. I was really, really wanting to just eat a lot of them after just, you know, handling the chicken thighs much earlier in the day, which normally I would probably suggest, you know, go ahead and make the chicken as you're making everything else. But since we had all this stuff to plan with the party, and I was trying to talk about stuff with my future roommate about apartments for Texas when I'm moving there this year, it would be easier on my schedule to just make the chicken ahead of time and let it marinate, which was ultimately a good thing. But if you want it to taste a bit more like savory with the chicken, definitely cook your chicken thighs around the same time you're going to start preparing everything else. I know we're jumping right ahead into the food stuff, but I really want to mention this. And so usually when I make chicken enchiladas, I usually start off with seasoning them on my wooden board with salt, pepper, my garlic and herbs seasoning mixture. I don't know the brand off the top of my head, but if you ever see something at a grocery store that says garlic and herbs, grab it. You will be very happy, and you will want to hug me eventually. And smoked paprika. That's all you need. It will be divine just with those seasonings. If you want to add other stuff, feel free. And just sear them to where they look like they've been seared very beautifully, like something you'd see at Chipotle. And then let them heat in the oven. And I had like over 2.5 pounds worth of chicken thighs. And I had 2 cans worth of black beans to cook later, which I should have had 3 because there ended up not being enough for like four enchiladas. There were 4 enchiladas that did not have enough for them. There were 5 enchiladas that did not have enough that did not have black beans. So I just had extra chicken thighs in there. And I actually had a perfect amount of chicken thighs for it. We had Colby Jack cheese. We had Hunt's tomato can sauce that I added enchilada seasoning to and some salt. And it was just a wonderful combination of wonderful flavors. And everybody there loved it. And I'm glad I had four of them, and I wish you had some too, Melissa.
Well, I'm listening to you talk about them. That's enough for me. But it's cool. It's cool that everybody liked them, and we started talking at the same time again. That's good.
Yes. The only thing I wish I had done differently, but because we had other stuff being made at the same time, like rice and such, I wish I would have had some oil in a skillet and heated the little flour tortillas in the oil to make them more easy to fold, rather than just like put them in damp paper towels in a microwave and microwave them one by one for 15 seconds. That just felt like it took a little more time than it should have. But with like, you know, if you have oil already heating, You put your tortilla shell in for like maybe 2 or 3 seconds on one side, and then you put it on the other side for a few seconds, and then that's it. And you move on to the next one. You just kind of pile them up on top of each other, and they'll probably still remain a bit more warm while you're doing everything. So that was probably the only thing I would really change, other than get a third can of black beans. So in case any of you need to make like 20 enchiladas for a group of people, that's my advice to you. Two giant Hunt's tomato sauce cans, one package of enchilada seasonings, over 2.5 pounds of chicken thighs, boneless and skinless, and 3 cans of black beans, and a huge-ass bag of Colby Jack. Yeah, it's pretty fucking delicious. So now that I have gotten that out of my system to talk about, Melissa White, what got you started in voice acting? I am quite curious.
Well, I don't have a super interesting story, but, I actually grew up acting on stage, and I Ooh. Really, really, really loved it. But I felt like as I went into college, it was a little harder to keep up with the acting stuff. Like, I took a couple acting classes, but I was always told by people that, you know, you can't be an actor. It's not sustainable, you're not going to be able to make enough money doing that. It's basically just not realistic. So I ended up studying psychology, which is, unless you get a master's or a PhD, you can't do a whole lot with it. And I don't have that much money. So unless I had like a scholarship, I couldn't do that. But anyway, so I ended up being like a very low level counselor for a bit. I hated it. I felt like I was always in danger because I was going to people's houses and they would just casually be carrying guns around and like,
oh no,
I don't know. We were like, I had to take special defense training and we were always taught to sit closest to the door so we could get out. So it's like, what am I getting myself into? Dude, it was really bad. So I was like, I've had enough of this. There was one meeting, like we had a team meeting where it was like, oh, somebody in the district died recently from the job that I was doing. And I'm like, nah, I'm done. So anyways, after that, I was like, I need to do something else. I always grew up loving animals, so I wanted to do something animal related. So I ended up working for an animal rights organization for 5 years, and I really loved it. I did like some strategist work, and then by the end of it, I was done. It was just like, all right, I've had enough. Cause it's a tough job, you know, you're around constant cruelty, and I don't know, just I had to watch a lot of awful videos, and I was like, I can't anymore. So anyway, this is a very long-winded story. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. Keep going.
But anyways, toward the end of that job, I had moved to Las Vegas because that is where my fiance lives. And I met him on Discord, actually. And
nice.
Yeah, we were in an anime Discord server together, which was pretty cool because I was not looking for a partner in an anime Discord server. No offense. And so anyways, I moved to Las Vegas And I found a voice acting studio here, just like out of the blue. I was like, voice acting? Because it's something that I never thought about. I always wanted to be an actor, but I always had these people telling me no, no, no. But then I came to this voice acting studio here in town, and I went. And the first time I went to take a class there, I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I just immediately, it clicked with me. I was not good. Because, you know, like, who is during their first class? Plus, I was, like, projecting really loud because I came from a stage background. And they were like, hey, you don't have to yell into the microphone. They're going to hear you because the microphone is picking you up. So, yeah, I mean, the rest is history from there. I took so many classes. I'm still taking a ton of classes. That's never going to end. I love it. I love constantly learning and growing and yeah, I just immediately fell in love with it, and now I'm doing my best to make a career out of it.
That's actually a really amazing story. I don't have an interesting story, and it just went from, nah, I got a job where people I'm looking at are have guns and all this shit. Like, just it luckily had a very happy ending, which I'm so, so happy about, because it got really intense there for a sec, so... I even had like a question, because I did see that you had done psychology on your website, but I wanted to ask this question, and you're welcome to not have to answer this question, but I wondered if any of your any of the time that you went into studying psychology, did any of that stuff that you learned from it help you with voice acting or even script analysis, with just like understanding character motivations or anything along those lines?
Yeah, I think it definitely did. I had always been, and this is not to sound like, oh my God, I'm amazing. It's just I've always been an emotionally intelligent person. So I've always been able to pick up on people's feelings and emotions and, you know, kind of comfort them and make them feel better when they're down or what have you. So that's kind of how I got into psychology in the first place, because everyone was like, you're so good at talking to people, like you're the counselor friend essentially. but yeah, I feel like because I studied all of these, you know, mental illnesses and just like behavior in general, when I look at a script, I can see like, okay, like this is probably what this character is thinking, even if it's not in the script. I'm like, okay, why would they say this? Like, what kind of mental state are they in? So I think it definitely has helped me a lot. So I can't say my degree is useless. I know I often do say that, but I do think like just being very mindful emotionally is super helpful. Like, you don't even need a psychology degree. Just like being an empathetic person is like, okay, what, even when it comes to clients, like, what does the client expect from me? What does the client want? What is the character feeling? Like, all this stuff is, I feel like, essential as an actor.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. And it's very important to have empathy in a business like this, especially when there's sometimes if something comes up and you can't really finish something in the due time, you just let them know, like, hey, can you give me another day or something like that? Or couldn't you, or if they're needing to send something to you for something and it's taking a little extra time, just it's good to be patient during times like this and really any time in general. But I do think that is equally a very important thing. And I also think that comes off strongly with having that empathy, because then that gives you a way to maybe make someone listen to you and go, I like your approach. I feel a connection there. And there's definitely aspects where I feel like, and I'm sure other people would agree, that we as actors have something that is unique to us. And what you have mentioned about yourself already, that's already something that you can use as a strength for all sorts of characters, I can imagine.
Yeah, I feel like, just, yeah, if you need to be able to know how to communicate, like you were saying, like you can't just be like, hey, where's my paycheck? Like, no, you can't say it like that. You have to be like,
no.
Hey, I don't know, but you would be surprised because some people do talk to their clients like that, or like some people talk to actors like that. I've gotten some strange emails from people I've worked with. I'm like, I don't know what went through your head to make you think you could talk to me like this, but you probably shouldn't. but yeah, it's just like having those skills and like being able to draw from your background, because you do need to connect with the characters you're voicing, because if you don't, then it's not going to sound authentic. It's going to sound like you're reading. I know that's, I had that problem when I first started. I still do sometimes when it's like, this is a character who is nothing like me. But the thing is, I think there's always something in any character where you can relate to them. They could be like the most evil person in the world, but it's like, okay, there's like one tiny little detail I can latch onto and be like, okay, this is my thing right here that I'm going to help make this an authentic performance.
Oh, yes. I technically remember because this was very recently, but I'm currently in the prep of doing a live monologue performance for King Lear that I'm doing for a Shakespeare class that I'm in right now. And it was during like the third week of Carlisle Dupree's class, where you are basically trying to like not only have your monologue memorized, but get to a point where you can actually let the character come alive for you in a way that's maybe not 100% comfortable, because there's definitely a lot of things in Shakespeare that have things that are very intense, very important. It's usually a matter of like life, death, or whether or not you're going to, well, in some cases with Shakespeare, it's sometimes sleep with someone, or in the case of my character, Edmund, frame my brother so that I can take his land, because I grew up being a bastard and I ended up wanting to finally take initiative with my life. And there's some aspects there where it's like, no, I'm not a bastard. I'm not an evil person, but taking initiative with your life when other people have been telling you no for a long, long time because of what you are, it's kind of cathartic to let something out like that. But it can be, it is almost like a psychology session with Carlisle directing me for that one, because she starts asking these really interesting questions that you don't have to like share full detailed answers. But it really helps you get into character and to pull that out, but also to find what is something about someone like Edmund that I can latch onto and be able to bring the life in my own way. Because I am trying so hard not to go and watch the Ian McKellen starring version of King Lear for the fact that I really just want to see Ian McKellen literally yell at a storm. I really want to see that real bad. But I don't want to see someone else's interpretation of Edmund until after class has ended. I want to see how I do with it, and I'm still trying to make sure I get it fully memorized in my head, because I've got it memorized enough, but there's still moments of pause that happen. I'm like, I want to make sure I don't have that problem. But that kind of adds to the uncertainty of the situation, but it's really fun to just let go. Just see what happens, and don't even plan too much, or at least plan and then forget and see what kind of magic comes out. And I kind of hope that whatever that session ends up, you know, popping up for recording, since it is going to be on Twitch, I hope that stays. I hope it doesn't like, you know, last for a little bit and then get deleted later. If for some reason it is still available as of the time this episode uploads, I will have a link in the description below in case you want to see everyone's performances, because they all do a good job, and I hope you enjoy hearing me as Edmund the Bastard, or the bass, if you will. Snap it a bass. So yeah, that's kind of one of my more interesting experiences as of late that I felt I could share. And also, anyone here who wants to learn Shakespeare, highly recommend Carlisle Dupree. Yes, yes, yes. I had a question involving voice acting for you, and it completely slipped my mind. So I'm not going to ask this question. when you saw that studio that you saw in Vegas, when you started to realize, ooh, I would love to get into more voice acting. Were there any goals that you thought to yourself, I really want to do this, and have any been accomplished yet that you can talk about?
Well, I actually got really sidetracked when I first started, because I was trying to go like a more practical route. So I was going to start with commercial, right? Because that typically there's more money in commercial voice acting, at least to start off. So my first like main goal was to cut my commercial demo, because I thought, you know, it'd be so cool to be in like a Disney commercial or Silk or Beyond Meat, because those are some brands that I really love. And I got distracted. I think part of it was I ended up progressing faster in character work because I was more passionate about it. So like I would do auditions on like Casting Call Club or Twitter, and I was like, this is so fun. So I ended up, you know, later on, one of my coaches, he was like, well, you know, we could work on your character demo if you feel ready and I can assess you. And so it just like, it went into this full like mess because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, I ended up doing my character demo first. But yeah, this is like a very long answer to a very simple question.
All good.
But yeah, like for immediate goals, honestly, I just want people to book me for anything because I want the experience. I've been working on some indie projects. None of them are released yet. But I mean, I've been doing even a lot of like fan dubs and things, and those are so fun and they're such good practice. So like, as far as goals, like I really like, I have like this list of goals where it's like, you know, get on talent rosters, eventually get an agent, you know, like book an anime role, even if it's Walla, because that is so fun. Like, I would love to be in an anime in any regard, or like even a video game. I haven't been in a video game yet, so even like an indie role would be so fun. People, please book me. That's
my... Book Melissa White. Go book her right now, please.
I'm not terrible.
I am glad you're not, and I am also going to put out into the void, book me too.
Book both of us, please. We need work, and we love voice acting, so please help us.
Yes, yes, yes. That would be fun. I really would love to be in a video game also. That would be an anime as well. That would be really fun too. I've only done dubbing once, and it was for like a challenge, and I was doing essentially a dub for the scene where Jack Sparrow lands on that harbor at the beginning of Pirates of the Caribbean. And I just did some silly shit with that. And it was very fun, but it was also very challenging. And I would like to do some more dubbing just to experiment with stuff like that. But there's definitely some aspects to it that I definitely want to kind of study a bit more before really jumping in, because I know there's a lot of like timing with the flaps, and there's other things with it there too. But also my mind is so scatterbrained that I'll think, oh, I'd like to do that at some point, and then it's going to be like 4 months from now and then I finally do it. So who knows? I also... I also do feel happy that I've accomplished the whole demo thing, getting that out there too. That made me feel very, very happy to finally have that crossed off my list. As far as anything else I could mention, as far as like if there's any goals I have somehow crossed off a list, there was I would say probably Hounds of Bedlam with Cold Open Stories last year was a goal. I wanted to work with a group that I really, really liked, and still couldn't believe I was in that series, even though I didn't have a big role, but it was still a role with an amazing cast, and a lot of them were my friends, and it was a very exciting project to be on, which I will have that in the link below for y'all to listen to too. So there's definitely a lot there that I'm very happy about, but I'm also I'm also very happy with the fact that I've just made so many friends, and I've gotten a lot of great insight into just how people live different experiences, which comes back to empathy. But also, there's just so many different options with food that I've seen so many voice actors share that I'm just like, I can't believe there's so many voice actors who love to cook, which brings me to my next question to you, my friend. What got you started in cooking?
Going vegan. Because I was so lazy growing up. I was vegetarian. Like, I turned vegetarian when I was 11. This goes back to me being an animal lover. I was really into helping animals in any way that I could. And so when I was vegetarian, I really didn't cook anything. I would be like, Mom, can I just have the side dishes for whatever she would cook? So I was lazy for a while. And then I moved out. And shortly after I moved out, I went vegan. And I was like, well, crap, like, I'm going to have to cook now, you know, like, because I lived in an area, like, there were vegan options, but it was expensive to always go out and not as healthy. And I was trying to be healthy. So I was like, okay, well, let me figure out recipes. And honestly, like, it wasn't hard for me because I'm still very lazy. I'm a very lazy cook. Like, I always think simpler is better. Like, that's just my vibe because I feel like I'm just going to demolish it in 5 minutes anyway. And then all my hard work is just in my stomach and then it makes me sad. I started looking up just things that I like eating on Google. And I was like, recipe for like vegan tacos or like just anything in general. I was like, vegan recipes, easy, 30 minutes. And then I ended up really, really liking it because it, to me, cooking is very therapeutic, even if I'm doing it for like an hour, right? It's still like an hour where I'm just vibing. Like, I get to, you know, chop some stuff. I get to watch some stuff sizzle in a pan. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's fun for me. I will say I'm a little bit more of a baker than a cook because I have a massive sweet tooth and like it's been a challenge for me to like make the healthiest sweets ever. So I'm like, I can eat them more often and not feel bad about it. But the trigger for me for learning cooking was going vegan. So.
I'm actually quite curious about when you've been doing this with vegan food, because I have not dived into that myself. I've only had maybe one veggie burger, or not really a veggie burger, but like those Beyond Burgers. Mm. I had one and I thought to myself, this is a burger, but it's kind of not a burger. This is good, but I don't know what this is. This is so weird. This is actually good, but I don't know what this is. That's how my brain and my mouth were responding to the situation. I do wish I had cheese, and I do wish I had bacon, but it was like, I liked eating this. And for some reason when I got it, I don't know why, it didn't click with me that the Beyond Burger was the vegan burger. I just thought, oh, it must be a really big burger. That would be good because I'm really hungry right now. I was out filming a documentary that I was doing for one of my part-time jobs. And it was just there and I just ate it. And I was like, this is not what I was expecting it to be. And I liked it, but I was so confused at the same time. So when you make anything like that, do you ever let other people eat it and see their reactions and see if they have anything similar to what I experienced?
Oh, 100%. I do it all the time. I don't tell them it's vegan because I feel like vegan is such a dirty word because there are a lot of like awful vegans. There's awful people in general, right? But I feel like there's this stereotype that vegans are like, oh, like you should go to hell because you ate meat. Like, no, like the reality is most vegans aren't like that. I'm certainly not. But yeah, I like doing that. I actually have a funny story about Beyond Burgers real quick. Quick side note.
Sure.
So I, at my animal rights job that I used to have, there were several occasions where I, in my small apartment in Tucson, Arizona, that's where I lived at the time, I was cooking over 100 Beyond Burgers in my kitchen, small apartment kitchen, right? And I had to haul them all by myself to local schools because part of my job was to give presentations about like vegan lifestyle and like just letting the students try the food and, you know, seeing what they think, just to get them some exposure to it in case they were interested. But anyways, I'm traumatized by Beyond Burgers because I hate how they smell and they like stunk up my kitchen. It took me like 3 days to get the smell out. I was like, man, I have a headache. But yeah, I like Beyond Burgers because they taste kind of similar and they like have a similar texture to beef. For people who like that, I was never one who is into that, so I don't enjoy it personally. But I got really sidetracked here.
Good.
I was talking about people trying the food. Okay. Okay, yeah. So I always tell people like, hey, here, do you want to try this? And they try it and usually they say it's really good. And then I'm like, it's vegan. And they're like, ew, it's nasty. Like that tends to be like. It's an experience.
I'm just picturing.
I don't know. I try to hang out with mostly open-minded people, so that doesn't happen anymore. But when I was younger, I would do that, and people would not have good reactions. But, you know, but you always, like, I always make sure there's no ingredients in there that would make them have an allergic reaction or anything. I'm like, okay, like,
fair.
Let me know if you have any allergies or anything, because I know there's, like, some... I don't know. There's some really bad stories about like people trying to give people food that made them really sick. So I'm always like, let me just make sure. But yeah, I think for the most part, people have enjoyed it. It's just more about like being open-minded and trying new things. I will say since I've gone vegan, my palate has extended so much because it's kind of forced me to try new things. And I really like that. Because before, when I was a vegetarian, first of all, I ate like crap because I was just eating side dishes and like things that were not nutritionally balanced in any way. Because I was like, I was a kid, you know, like I was not thinking about like, is this good for my health or like, what do I need to eat to make up for not eating meat? And second of all, like, it's just... I don't know. It's good to have variety. Like I always tell people, my personal favorite cuisine is Ethiopian. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but
I have not.
Man, and that's the reaction I always get when I ask people, I'm like, "Have you tried
one day?"
It's so good, and it sucks that I missed out on it for so many years. Now I try to eat all the time. I had it last night actually, but it's like I don't know. It's just. The thing with vegan food, it's more about, like, you know, focusing on the spices and getting specific textures and, you know, bringing out certain flavors of things. Because, I mean, I ate a lot of cheese when I was vegetarian and I thought, oh, it's going to be so hard for me to give this up. But I don't know. There's vegan alternatives to everything. And they do take some getting used to. I'm not going to lie. Because it's not... There's nothing vegan yet that tastes exactly like cheese. So it's a hard adjustment there. But anyway, the point of this rant, I guess, this is like literally anytime I talk to anybody, the point of this rant is to just like, I don't know, like encourage people to try new things and expand their horizons sometimes. And you never know, you might find something you really end up enjoying. Like you trying that Beyond Burger was awesome because you were like, oh, I don't know what this is. But then you were like, huh, it's not bad, you know?
True. I will say I'm glad I've not had that experience of where like it's like an Ace Ventura When Nature Calls, where Jim Carrey's just eating something. He's going, "Oh, this is really good. What is this?" And the other person's like, "Bat droppings." And he's just,
no.
I doubt I will ever be like that with vegan, where I eat something and go, "This is really good. Yeah, it's vegan." I would probably be like, "This is good. This is good." But if my brain is all confused, that could be a whole, that's a whole other thing. Now, if I don't like something, I genuinely don't like something. And if there's, I feel like if there's anything I genuinely don't like, it's probably canned green beans. I've never liked green beans unless it's like in a soup. I've just never been a big fan of it. I've had some weird experiences with artichoke, and I think I had one bad time with an avocado, which I want to go back to trying avocados and make sure my body is okay with them, because I want to finally get myself into guacamole a bit more. But I definitely, if there's one vegan recipe that I would like to try one day, a friend of mine did share with me a chickpea quesadilla recipe, which looked really good and seemed really simple. I don't remember all of the ingredients that were in it, but I could probably look it up and send it to you at some point, unless I somehow deleted it because I got rid of Facebook last year, and I'm so grateful for that. So I don't know. But I'm definitely very happy with expanding my horizons with food over these last few years. And I know when I move to Texas, that's only going to go up. I'm going to have a lot more Korean food. I'm going to have a lot more, hopefully a lot more ramen. One day I would like to make my own ramen. But more Mexican food, that's definitely something I cannot wait to have a lot more often in my life, because I want to make more tacos and more enchiladas and probably more burritos, because I can't get enough of that stuff. I really cannot. And I want to try doing more healthier versions. Like, I've even really gotten into fajitas lately. Yum. So I would like to make my own fajitas more often. I have not made my own yet, but I want to. And I had a dish in a Mexican place in a town that I was dog sitting in not too long ago, and I've never had a Mexican concoction that had mushrooms in it before, and I was so pleased with how it was. It was one of the best meals I've ever had. But what made me so freaking happy, and I don't know if you ever experienced this, usually a lot of places I go to, when they give me corn tortillas, they usually give me like three. This place gave me 5 corn tortillas.
Yes.
To eat all of this stuff. Anyone who gives me more than 3 corn tortillas, I thank you. I thank you so much. And now my stomach is talking to me. Shush. Shush.
We should have gotten snacks I guess.
I could talk. Well, I've got the leftover enchiladas. They're probably in the oven right now. My mom's going to have some of those with me. Excuse me. Yeah, I would gladly have Mexican food every single day if I could. But obviously, I want to balance it out with stuff. I guess I now really want to ask you this question. Do you have a favorite Mexican dish?
Okay, I gotta go with nachos, because that's one of my favorite foods in general. Like, I also really love Mexican food. But yeah, nachos, like, hands down. There's so many toppings. Like, it just feels endless and so fulfilling in life.
Fulfilling is always the most important thing with nachos, and filling is definitely a good thing in there too. I like to have chicken with my nachos usually, and black beans if possible, and cheese to melt everywhere. But I do feel like I want to kind of experiment and try. Ooh, I've never had fajita nachos before. I should do that at some point. What do you usually like to have on your nachos?
Well, it's really funny because I live right next to an all vegan Mexican place. Literally, I can walk there, so it's kind of dangerous.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, Vegas is like, we are foodies out here, man. Like, we got everything. But I like what they put on their nachos. That's why I brought them up. So, just like same thing as you, really. Like, there's all vegan versions, but like cheese, chicken, black beans, gotta have guac, like that is a necessity. Sour cream, lettuce, pico de gallo. Am I missing anything? That sounds about right. Yeah.
I'm now wanting to just make nachos at some point this week.
Same. Oh my gosh. Yeah, this show does make you hungry.
It really does. It really does. In fact, I've got one more question I want to ask you before I go and eat these leftover enchiladas. What is your favorite recipe?
So it changes like every day, but mm-hmm. The one that I am going to share is a mac and cheese, but it's dairy free. It's made with cashew cheese, which is my Discord username. You were probably wondering what the heck is that, but yeah, it's...
I was wondering about that, because it seemed cute and different, and I didn't know it had any significance to our episode, so hell yes!
Yeah, most people are like, oh, you really like cashews and cheese. I was like, nah, cashew cheese! But anyways, so it's a really simple, like, baked mac and cheese recipe, but I wanted to share it because... the sauce is probably something that most people listening to this haven't tried. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, since you're going to bake mac and cheese, you want to grease a large casserole dish and preheat your oven to 350. And then what you're going to do is you're going to soak cashews, which sounds really weird. I recognize that all of this sounds weird to most people probably, but... you're soaking cashews for a little bit. It depends on your blender because you're going to blend them up. So if you have a weaker blender, you're going to want to boil some water on the stove because you want them to get as soft as possible so your blender doesn't break. Not that it would, but... so you boil some water, 4 cups of water to be exact. And then you're going to pour the boiling water over the cashews, and that's going to be 1.5 cups of raw cashews. You can do it with roasted cashews if that's what you've got. I've done that before. It doesn't really make a difference. So, yeah, let it soak for 5 minutes. And then once you've done that, once they're soaked and ready to go, you're going to make the cheese sauce. So... first step to doing that is you're going to drain the cashews and throw out the soaking water. You don't need that anymore. And then you're going to add the cashews to the blender along with several other handy dandy ingredients, which is 2 cups of water, 3 tablespoons lemon juice. You can use fresh lemons or you can use the little easy bottle of lemon juice. I have that too because I'm lazy.
That sounds awesome.
And then nutritional yeast, it's going to be 1/3 of a cup of that. You probably, I don't know, a lot of people don't know what that is. It sounds disgusting, but I promise it's not. It's like, what the heck is a nutritional yeast? But it's like, it's a yeast, but it has like a cheesy flavor going on. So it like gets you that mac and cheesy goodness. So just trust me. Mm. And it's very healthy because it's nutritional, you know, you got to have... you can't be doing false advertising out here. And then you throw in a clove of garlic. Don't need to mince it or anything because you're just blending it up. And then 1/2 teaspoon onion powder and 1.5 teaspoons of salt. And then you're just going to blend those bad boys until they're very smooth. That'll depend on your blender. I have a fancy schmancy blender. So like,
I do too.
I have to keep in mind that not everybody does because I feel like sometimes if you don't, like I was saying with the cashews, if you don't soak them for long enough, your blender is not going to be happy. But if you have like, what do I have? I have the Vitamix and so it doesn't care. I can not soak them at all and it'll still work. But yeah, blend it until it's smooth. and then set it aside. Just a note, it'll probably look a little watery. That's what you want. It's going to look kind of weird, but it's going to thicken while it bakes. So you don't want it to be too thick already. And then you can add a little bit more water if it is too thick, but I haven't run into that problem, so I doubt anyone else would. And then the next thing is really hard, so make sure you're listening. You're going to cook whatever pasta of choice according to the package instructions, but you have to subtract 1 minute. So you have to do 1 minute less than what you just read. I'm being totally sarcastic. I hope that comes across.
I was about to say, like, I like to do that. I like to do the whole al dente.
I was like, I hope people don't think I'm, like, calling them stupid because I'm like, you have to cook the pasta according to the instructions. Reading is hard, though. I'm not going to lie.
Reading is, like, I can't even speak sometimes when I read aloud.
I know, same. Typical voice actors not knowing how to read.
I know. We can't speak. We can't read. What can we do?
Nothing.
Nothing. Sorry.
Anyways, nice sound effects that we have added in here. And then, yeah, so it's 1 minute less because the noodles are going to keep cooking when you put them in the oven. So you don't want to overcook them. So once the pasta is done, you drain it and set it aside. And then you're going to make a fun breadcrumb topping, and you can just pick out whatever breadcrumbs you want. I know. Or you can make them yourself if you're feeling real fancy, but I don't do that because, yet again, I'm lazy.
Yeah, just get you some panko breadcrumbs like I do.
Yes, exactly. Get the panko breadcrumbs. You're going to use 1.5 cups of those, and then 4 tablespoons of melted dairy-free butter. There's so many different brands of this at this point. Like, it's insane, but it's usually right next to the dairy butter. So just try it out. Honestly, like, it tastes very similar to margarine, because a lot of margarine doesn't have dairy in it. But
no wonder, yeah. I like margarine.
It doesn't make your stomach hurt. I don't know about you, but I'm lactose intolerant, so I'm like...
Well, also, I find margarine to be a little bit easier to work with than, like, salted butter, which my mom got. I'm like, this butter is, it's good, but it's like working with a stone.
Oh,
no. This margarine is so much easier to work with. And it's not expired. It's not expired. Don't freak out. It's just rougher than butter I've used, or tougher than butter I've used before to, like, you know, even just to scrape on a grilled cheese or a baked potato. Whereas the margarine's like, oh, this is easy.
Right. Yeah, that's how I feel, too. Like, it can definitely, dairy-free butter can get pretty hard. Like, the consistency is, it depends on which brand, but I feel like it's pretty good. So, once you have the melted butter and the breadcrumbs together, you're going to add 1/4 teaspoon of paprika, which is one of my favorite spices.
Same.
And mix those all together, and then... Once you have that, this is the easiest part. You're just throwing it all together. So you add the drained pasta to that casserole dish that you greased earlier in this recipe. And then you're going to pour the cheese sauce on top of the noodles and stir to combine. And then sprinkle the breadcrumb mixture on top and bake uncovered for 15 to 20 minutes until warm and golden brown. And then you have to top it with hot sauce because you can't eat mac and cheese without hot sauce.
Ooh, I've actually never done that, and now I just want to pour Frank's hot sauce all over my next mac and cheese batch.
And Frank's is the best hot sauce. I love it.
Yes! Thank you. I've had a lot of different hot sauces, and Frank's has amazing flavor without destroying your mouth. It's so good, and I can use it for so many things. I love it so much, and I like to use it in my blend for chicken, for my fried chicken, which is just, you can't go wrong with Frank's hot sauce. You just can't. And I love that there are people out there who also love the Frank's hot sauce. But since there's so many wonderful hot sauces out there, I'm sure there's others that I would really love to try at some point. In fact, I've I've always thought to myself at some point I should do something similar to what they do at Hot Ones, where I just interview someone where we're just eating hot chicken wings and just see how far we can get. I think that would be fun to do one day on Voices That Cook. Not to steal from Hot Ones stuff and whatnot.
I was gonna
In fact, if nothing else, we could maybe do like a character read. We're both reading scripts and we're playing characters and we're just eating the hot wings, trying to do these dramatic scenes and just see what happens at that point. I think that would actually be really fun to do someday.
Wait, can we have like a bunch of voice actors on that? Because I want to be a part of that. That sounds so fun.
I'm gonna have to start asking people about that. That would be super fun and super silly, and just see how far we can get as far as like just if we're reading Shakespeare monologues, just thou nature art my thou nature art my goddess to thy law, my services are bound. Wherefore should I stand?
Oh my god, this sounds better and better by the second.
Oh gosh, I just want to reenact scenes from The Lighthouse doing that. That would be so fucking hilarious. Just well, it's all horse shit. You ain't no general. You ain't no copper. You ain't the president. You ain't my father. And I'm sick. I'm sick of being acting like you is. Sick of your laughing. You're snoring. And your goddamn farts. Oh, boy. Highly recommend The Lighthouse to everyone who wants to enjoy themselves with a weird movie. And my brain is just like, you need to calm the fuck down.
So funny. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. And I loved having you on, Melissa. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me and listening to my rambling sessions, because... feel like that's like I'm asking you a yes or no question. Well, you see, it's funny because
it's just like peacemakers going yes or no questions. But I want to know what her favorite color is. It's yes or no questions. It's just that's as simple as that. That's too many rules. It's two rules. I feel like you're really angry right now.
No, but seriously, this has been so fun. I love talking about food, so.
I do too. Thank you for so much for joining the conversation. I'm trying not to laugh again.
Don't laugh.
No, don't say that. Don't say that because it just makes it worse.
Reverse psychology.
Yes.
I used my degree to learn that.
Yes, you did. I had a degree of cinema studies where I just learned movies and would have to be the student that the professors would tell, William, stop answering all the Indiana Jones questions.
Oh my god, that is hilarious.
Yes, they literally told I was literally raising my hand for a lot of questions to answer, and they were like, let's answer someone else's question, please. Or let someone else answer the question, please. One thing I do appreciate about my favorite class I took in college was my film and American culture class. We literally started class an hour early just so that we could all watch The Godfather from start to finish on a really big projector screen. That was cool.
I love that. That sounds amazing.
It was. It most certainly was. And being able to just go out to my professor and he would do like his whole James Caan impression and I would just do my Marlon Brando with the whole, so, you know, I'm standing here with my smart water bottle. It's good for hydration. And if you're a voice actor who wants to do things in this business, you gotta have yourself some hydration.
And if you don't have hydration, there's a lot of blood that's going to come out of your throat. And if you started to be an asshole in this business, there will be more of it coming out of your asshole. Well, your blood, never. I'm doing this wrong. I'm very early in this Mafia Don business. Okay? I'm not very good at this. I'm so sorry. Let's just get back to William Nunn over here.
Yes, Don Corleone. Let me return now. Melissa White, where can the listeners of One Shot, not One Shots, that's a whole different podcast, which you're more than welcome to follow and listen because that's where Odysseus Claw is on. I'm on season 2 of that right now. Where can the listeners of Voices That Cook follow you, my friend?
I'm most active on the Twitterverse. My username on their Twitter handle, whatever you want to call it, is @itsMelissaWhite. And then it's the same thing on the gram. So it's Melissa White on there, too. I don't really use Facebook, so I'm sorry if you love Facebook. I'm not really on there. Much like William, I have kind of shunned it.
I have permanently shunned it, and I feel like my life has been a lot better since then.
it's a rough life out there, but yeah, Instagram and Twitter. I am on Twitter way too much, so you can definitely find me on there.
And I'm on Twitter way too much too, which y'all are more than welcome to follow me there at Voice That Cooks, there we go, and on Instagram at The Voice That Cooks, which I'm on Instagram a lot less as far as posting stuff. I should post more often on there, especially more food stuff, because you can see all the really fun photos of food things and such. And on Twitter, you know, you get the voice acting updates, you get the podcast updates, you get the sneak peeks, the food stuff as well, me sharing my love for Dune, Deep Space Nine, and probably at this point, Twilight Zone, because I'm now back on the Twilight Zone, because that show, it's amazing how well it holds up after so long. And you can also just kind of bounce around on it. That's what makes it so accessible for me to go through. It's just, you know, I haven't watched that episode yet. I want to watch that one. And it's like back in season 1. And then there's like another episode that seemed really interesting, but it's all the way in episode, not episode, but it's season 3. Oh, I can just jump to that one. And you're literally not missing a single thing. So that's the beauty of Anthology. That's the beauty of The Twilight Zone. If you've never seen it, highly recommend it. But yeah, that's probably it, unless you had any other last minute things you wanted to say, share, whatever, Melissa, wait, whatever. I am trying to both focus and keep my stomach in check because I want those enchiladas right now.
Okay. I'm going to say something real quick. If there are any actors, voice actors, stage, camera, whatever you love to do, please don't give up. I know it's really, really hard a lot of days because you're constantly getting rejected. You're constantly battling imposter syndrome. But just know that you can do it. Please believe in yourself. You are amazing. You're so talented. You're getting better and better every single day. And you're going to get to a point where all of your dreams come true. So just know I believe in you. Please believe in yourself, too.
I kind of needed to hear that, too. Thank you so much for saying that.
I wanted to because I know a lot of actors probably listen to this. And I just, it's a really hard industry, you know, and I just, everybody needs a pep talk every once in a while. So
this is true. I actually got to have a session with a friend of mine who was helping me with a bunch of auditions not too long ago. And it made a world of difference as far as confidence was concerned. Even for just that day, it meant so much. So if you're struggling, if you're having imposter syndrome, we're here for you. And if you ever want to be like, hey, could use a shout out, maybe not a shout out, but like, you know, just a word of confidence or whatever, that'd be something I'd be happy to do. Cause I've had to ask people for that sometimes. Maybe not outright, but it would eventually get into that. But if you also listened to this episode, you felt inspired as a performer, or maybe you wanted to actually give a vegan recipe a try, like those that mac and cheese that you mentioned, feel free to share that with us, too. We'd love to see them and see what y'all come up with. I'll definitely be wanting to look into that myself just to see how it goes, see how it tastes. But until then, thank you. you all so much again for listening to Voices That Cook. And if you're listening to this on an app that lets you leave a review, please do. And thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your evening and enjoy your